Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Thank you all for joining tonight's program, Heroes from Islamic History, with Brother Ahmed al-Mutawa. Our last class will be on Thursday, inshallah, and we will greatly miss it. Inshallah, we will have other programs after Ramadan, so stay tuned. Reminder that we do have our Laylatul Qadr program tonight with speakers Dr. Muazzam al-Siddiqui, Hafiz Azim Sayyid, Ustaz Hassan Alwan, and Sheikh Ibrahim Usman. You can tune in on our Facebook or YouTube Live. And our last day of our kids program is tomorrow with Noor Kids. You can still register at ramadan.isosemester.org/kids. Join Sheikh Shahid Ali this Wednesday for Quranic Gems, where he discusses some of the highlighted verses from the previous week's Quran recitation, its lessons, context, and how they pertain to our lives. Join us for our Khatam al-Quran program on Thursday for a spiritually uplifting evening with Sheikh Ala'uddin al-Bakri, Dr. Muazzam al-Siddiqui, Hafiz Nabeel Iqbal, and Hafiz Suhaib Beg. That's this Thursday, inshallah. Also, our MYG will be having their Get Caffeinated program on Friday with Sheikh Shahid Ali as he interprets the lessons and the stories from Surah Al-Kahf. For our complete online programs and our Zoom links, you can go to visit ramadan.isosemester.org. And an early Eid Mubarak to all of you. Please visit aid.isosemester.org to view our guidelines to help you prepare for a blessed Eid from home. And remember to pay your sadaqatul fitr, which is $10 per person in your family. Dr. Siddiqui will also have his Eid message shortly around 9:15 on Eid, which is Sunday, May 24th. You can also celebrate Eid with us in your cars by driving through ISOC, where we will be distributing sweets and treats, and you can take a family picture from inside your car. So again, you can visit aid.isocmasjid.org to register your arrival time and to view all of these flyers to share with your friends and family. Okay, Brother Ahmed, you can go ahead, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All the praise and thanks are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah's peace and blessing be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our fast. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our prayers. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our recitation of the Quran. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our charity. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all our good deeds in this blessed month of Ramadan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those people who are taking advantage of this month, and those people who are going to be forgiven, inshallah, in this month, and also will be freed from hellfire, inshallah. Today is a special night, could be Laylatul Qadr. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength and the ability to be standing in tahajjud, to stand in prayer and recite the Quran and make the dua, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all your dua and wishes come true. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the ability to make the dua that you want. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will bless you to answer your dua. And know that Ramadan is not ending tonight. It's not the end of Ramadan tonight. And Ramadan is not going to end on the 29th of Ramadan. And also, the Lord of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's here also after Ramadan. So remember that when you make your dua tonight. Remember that after you make your dua tonight. And remember that after Ramadan, inshallah. Today we have with us a great hero and an amazing story I want to share with all of you, inshallah, today. And after the story, we're going to talk about hadith. How do we take advantage from the story of our hero today, Uwais al-Qarni? Uwais al-Qarni, some man from Yemen. Yemen is the south of Arabia, the Arabian Peninsula. And he lived there most of his life. And he didn't come out of Yemen until he was in his 30s. But before we talk about specifically what happened to him, I want to talk about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what did he say about boys. Once the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting among the Sahaba, and specifically among the Sahaba was Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu and Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was telling them, a man will come and you guys better meet him and better know him. His name is Uwais al-Qarni. This Uwais al-Qarni has certain qualities. He is somebody who is known to be لو أقسم على الله لأبره. What does that mean? Somebody لو أقسم على الله لأبره. His dua answered. Whenever he makes dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the dua. Not just that. There are people, certain qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are some people with certain qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the ability when they swear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said, oh Allah, I swear by you to do this for me. You know how sometimes, you know, some people swear, you know, and, you know, say, I swear you do this for me. I swear I'll do it for you, or stuff like this. This man, Uwais al-Qarni, had the ability to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallahi Allah, you'll do this to me, and Allah will do it. Subhanallah. How amazing is that? And even among the Sahaba, wasn't a lot of people like this. One of the Sahaba who would do something like this, who had the ability, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَوْ أَقْسَمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّ. If he swears by Allah, for Allah to do it, Allah would do it, is Al-Bara' ibn Azib. Al-Bara' ibn Azib, he had this ability too. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at the Sahaba and he told them, when you meet him, and if you meet him, make sure he makes istighfar for you. Make sure he makes dua for you. And think about it. He is somebody who's not a Sahaba, by the way, who came after the Sahaba, technically. We're going to talk specifically about his story. Is he better than the Sahaba to make dua for them? What did he do to make his dua more blessed than the dua of some of the Sahaba? That's something, you know, very amazing. And he specifically, he told that to Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, and Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu. And you know who are those two people? The heroes of the heroes. Umar and Ali, radiallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased with them. Subhanallah. And he told them about him. He told some qualities about Uwais. He said he was kind and nice and taking care of his mother. Uwais al-Qarni, he was also taking care of his mother. That's the qualities Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave about him. And he said he had a mark of a disease he had. He had always a disease, a skin disease, that a mark being left in his like shoulder, on his arm. And some people said on his like back, you know. He said he had this mark, he has this mark on him and it's still on him because he had the disease all over his body. But he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to heal him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but leave a small mark to remember your blessings. He said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, heal me, but small mark. Because every time I see the mark, I will remember your blessings, subhanAllah. Somebody who want to be reminded always of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's going on with Uwais al-Qarni? Why he had this higher status? And did he meet Umar? Did he meet Ali? Did he meet the Sahaba? Uwais al-Qarni was a young man at the time Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Mecca to Medina, some of the historians, they tell us he was 10 years old. Maybe a little bit older even. And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent messengers to Yemen later on, after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Mecca. Among those messengers Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent or ambassador to Yemen was Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And Mu'adh ibn Jabal was the first person we talked about. Uwais al-Qarni accepted Islam, and his mother also accepted Islam. And he was taking care of his mother. And his mother was old and he was taking care of her. And he was an orphan, actually. He was born an orphan. Or like as soon as he was born, his dad passed away right away. So he was always with his mom and taking care of his mom. Subhanallah. Until his mom became blind and she cannot see. So he started taking extra care of her. Imagine, if she wants to go to the bathroom, he has to take care. She wants to do anything, he had to take care. Like he always would be with his mom. Until he get the opportunity to go to Medina to meet Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one day, he had this opportunity to travel with a caravan from Yemen south all the way to Medina north. And subhanAllah, he started thinking about it. He's like, should I go or should I stay? He's like, but if I go, who's going to take care of my mom? And if I go, I will meet Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, it's a huge name. Like, would you stay taking care of your mom? Or will you go to meet Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The reward is huge, meeting Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And look, think about it for a second. He is not a Sahaba. Why he's not a Sahaba? Because he did not meet Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though he was a Muslim. He would become a Sahaba if he had met Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he went in that journey. He decided, he said, no, I'm not going to go meet Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward me for my intention. So he stayed with his mom to take care of his mom. Subhanallah. And remember, he left something so big for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of helping his mother. You know, I'm ashamed of myself. I don't think I would do something this anything like this for my mom. You know, if somebody would tell me you meet Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's something so big, so huge. Even some of us would think about it so many times, and maybe we would not take care of, you know, our families, of our parents, of our moms, subhanallah. But he made the difficult decision and he stayed to take care of his mom, subhanallah. That's got him the reward. That's Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to mention him among the Sahaba, that he summons dua is answered. And if you meet him, make sure you do what? You ask his forgiveness. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. Abu Bakr became the Khalifa. Abu Bakr became the Khalifa for 2 years. Abu Bakr, every single year in Hajj of his 2 years, he would meet the Hujjaj who came from Yemen. And he would ask them, is Uwais among you? Any of you know Uwais al-Gharni? And no one would know him, or he wasn't with them. Umar al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, he became the Khalifa after Abu Bakr, the Muslim leader after Abu Bakr was the Muslim leader. And he, every Hajj, in every Hajj season, when the Hujjaj, when the people, they come to visit Mecca, to visit the Kaaba, he would go and meet the people of Yemen. And he would ask them, is Uwais al-Qarni with you? Do you guys know Uwais al-Qarni? Is he here? Until the 5th year of Hajj, at the time of Umar al-Khattab, he was asking the people of Yemen, anybody here from Qarn? Anybody here from the tribe of Murid? Because that's where Uwais from. And somebody stood up, he's like, yeah. He's like, do you know Uwais al-Qarni? He's like, yes, of course I know Uwais al-Qarni. Uwais al-Qarni is my nephew. He said, we'd love to meet him. So the following year, the 6th year of the ruling of Umar al-Khattab, and this is after that, Umar al-Khattab actually passed away too. He died after that. Umar al-Khattab narrated the story. He said, when everybody gathered in Arafah, Umar al-Khattab, he stood and he asked the people of Yemen to stand. And he went to the people of Yemen. And he said, I want only the people from Qarn to stand. And the people from Qarn stood. He said, I want only the people from Murid to stand. And they stood. And he looked at them and he said, guys, is Uwais al-Qarni among you? Is he here today? And somebody looked at him and he said, yeah, he's here. But he's taking care of our sheaves there. You see him? He's there. And why do you want him? What do you want to deal with him? He's like, poor guy, you know, he has the, you know, lowest job. No one cares about him. He's there. You see him there. Umar looked at Ali ibn Abi Talib, he's like, let's go. Let's go run to him. So they ran Ali ibn Abi Talib and Umar al-Khattab, and they went to Uwais, and they told him, assalamu alaikum. And they asked him, did you have a disease in your skin and you still have a mark? And you know, he showed them. And remember, they were in Ihram, they were ahead. He showed them. And they asked him, how's your mom? He told him, unfortunately, my mom passed away. And Umar looked at Ali, he said, this is the prophecy of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wouldn't come if his mom is still alive. So his mom must have died for him to come to Hajj. And Ali ibn Abi Talib looked at him and he said, and Umar al-Khattab looked at him and he said, make istighfar for us. Seek forgiveness for us. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. Make dua for us. And he looked at him and he's like, me? Umar, Ali, you're asking me to make dua and to make istighfar for you? Why would you ask me? You're Umar, you're Ali. You are two people who actually close to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're his cousin. And to Umar, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married your daughter. What you ask somebody who's shepherd coming from Yemen so far, who no one would know to make istighfar, to ask him to make istighfar for you, to ask him to make dua for you. And they told him the hadith Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told them about him, and how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him he's somebody whose dua is answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is somebody who's لو أقسم على الله لأبره. He's somebody, if he swears to Allah to do something, Allah would do it. And he put his hand together. He said, oh Allah, forgive Ali. Oh Allah, forgive Umar. Oh Allah, forgive them. Subhanallah. How beautiful is that? And then in some of the narrations, specifically in one of the narrations of Imam Sayyuti, he said something very interesting. He said, Umar ibn Khattab, he gave a cloth of a Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, belonged to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Uwais and asked him to use it. Because Uwais refused to take any money. He refused to take anything from Umar al-Khattab. Umar al-Khattab was telling him, Uwais, Why don't you stay with us? Why don't you stay in Medina? And you will have the most wonderful life. You will visit the great Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You pray in the Masjid Nabawi. He said, no. I have my way. I'm going to Iraq. I'm going specifically to the city of Kufa. Umar ibn al-Khattab told him, it's okay, no problem. I'm going to write you a letter. And I'm giving you this letter to give it to the governor of Kufa. The governor of Iraq at that time, he'll take care of you. He said, no, I don't want to be somebody famous. I want to be somebody who no one would know. Subhanallah. And then Umar asked him, he's like, okay, if you don't want anything, let me give you some money and then give you some clothes. He said, why are you giving me money? You're giving me money to change my clothes, to buy new clothes. He's like, my clothes are, you know, wonderful and nothing wrong with them. Why would I need your money? He said, you're asking me to give, you're giving me money so I can buy new shoes. He said, nothing wrong with my shoes. And you're giving me money to buy some food. He said, still, I have $4. $4, you're talking about $4. He said, I still have $4 I'm using. So I don't need your money. So some of the narration, they tell us that Umar al-Khattab then gave him a piece of cloth that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to wear. And some of the narration, they told you, tell us that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore this during Isra and Mi'raj. And then Uwais al-Qarni, he went to Iraq. And he lived all his life in Iraq. Until Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he was the Khalifa. And he fought in one of the battles with Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he became radiallahu anhu. And then he became Shaheed. He was killed in that battle. He became martyr at the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib in the battle with Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And some of the historians, they tell us they kept, his family kept the cloth. And they start calling it Al-Khurqa Sharifa. And they kept it generation after generation. Generation after generation in Iraq, specifically in north of Iraq. His family used to live later on, Uwais al-Qarni. Until the 1600s. Until actually the early 1600s, around 1610, 1615. The Ottoman Sultan at that time, Sultan Ahmed, he is Sultan Ahmed. He is the one who built the Blue Mosque. He heard about the cloth that the family of Uwais used to have. So he invited all the family of Uwais that used to exist at that time to Istanbul at that time. And they lived there. And later on, Sultan Abdul Hamid I actually built the masjid where the piece of cloth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the masjid exists until today. People can visit the masjid and see the cloth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who takes care of it until today? Actually, the 59th grandson of Uwais al-Qarni in Istanbul right now takes care of the cloth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until today. Subhanallah. A man who disattached himself of this life. A man who took care of his mother. He reached the highest status. The highest status is to become the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not just that, he never claimed or wanted to be a famous person. Or he never went after fame. But subhanAllah, guess what happened? He's so famous until today that we talk about him. I want you to think of this. I want you to think of certain action. What can you do? What can you give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You might think it's very difficult to, you know, to do. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you huge rewards that you will never think of. So I want to end with hadith since we're in Ramadan. Well, this hadith will make us reflect about the story that we talked about today. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day, he was in his Masjid Nabawi, and he was going to climb or going to take the steps of the minbar. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a pulpit, which is three steps that he used to stand on the top. So every step he took, he said, Ameen. The second step he took, he said, Ameen. The third step he took, he said, Ameen. So then he looked at the Sahaba. He said, listen, everybody. Jibreel alayhi salam, Angel Jibreel just came to me right now. And he said to me the following. He said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رَغِمَ أَنْفُهُ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ وَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ. He said, he's a loser who Ramadan approaches him or her and not forgiven. He or she is a loser when Ramadan comes upon them and they don't end up to be the winners. And how we become the winners of Ramadan? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. So we end up going to Jannah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will free us from hellfire. That's number one. Second thing he said, رغم أنفه من أدرك والديه أو أحدهما أو كلاهما ولم يدخلاه الجنة. He said, he's a loser, she's a loser who lives with their parents and had the opportunity to live with one or two parents, and he or she did not enter Jannah because of their parents, because of taking care of their parents. Look at Uwais. Not just that, inshallah, he'll be in Jannah. Any dua that he would make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would answer it of the barakah of taking care of his blind mom when she needed to be taken care of at a certain point of her life. And he said the third Ameen. Why he said Ameen for the third time? He said Jibreel alayhi salam said, رَغِمَ أَنْفُهُ مَنْ ذُكِرْتَ عِنْدَهُ وَلَمْ يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكَ. He said, he's a loser who Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam name mentioned in front of him or her, and they would not say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everybody say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's learn from this, and let's take advantage of these things that we have with us to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this night, and to also to be freed from hellfire, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair, and we'll end, inshallah, with dua, short dua, inshallah, that you maybe can use it, inshallah, for you tonight, for your tahajjud. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم اغفر لنا في رمضان. اللهم اغفر لنا في رمضان. اللهم اجعلنا ممن صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا. اللهم اجعلنا ممن قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يقيم ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا. اللهم اغفر لنا يا الله واعتق رقابنا من النار. اللهم اعتق رقابنا من النار ورقاب والدينا وذرياتنا وأهلينا وأصحابنا وطلبتنا ومعلمينا. اللهم يا الله يا رب العالمين بلغنا ليلة القدر. اللهم بلغنا ليلة القدر. اللهم بلغنا ليلة القدر. اللهم ارفع عنا البلاء. اللهم ارفع عنا البلاء. اللهم ارفع عنا البلاء. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. اصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون. وسلام على المرسلين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. جزاكم الله خير. We'll see inshallah on the last class, inshallah, last talk, inshallah, last year on Thursday. Assalamu alaikum.